I will read the question and then read the candidates' names that it's assigned to in that order. While the ordinance governing our historic districts remain in place, budget cuts have severely impacted staffing and enforcement resources. What changes, if any, would you seek to ensure our historic district ordinance remains a viable and effective tool to combat incremental destruction? And that's for Joan and then Roberto.
That's a very interesting question. I know that the historic preservation element of our general plan was certified approximately 5 years ago, and we do have a current ordinance to protect our historic districts. I know that the budget cuts cost us the loss of a very popular member of the staff, Jan Achete. I've had the privilege of working with her when I've done some of the environmental assessments for some of the projects. I strongly believe that we need to bring back someone on staff for historic preservation. I've looked at some of the consultants who have done work, and mainly they're interested in charging us a lot of money. And on the last project that I worked with Jan, she came back, looked at it, reversed the other consultants, and saved the city a lot of money. So many times these staff positions are better than farming out work to outside consultants who mainly do studies for the purpose of doing another study. Jan's work allowed the city to facilitate the demolition of the art theater and move forward with the new library. So I would very much like to bring Jan or someone like her back on staff.
Thank you. Roberto?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for the invitation to serve on this panel. Jerry Shipsky, a couple of weeks ago, suggested that we bring back the Mills Act, which is basically an opportunity for residents who live in the historic districts to provide them with the tax breaks to renovate their homes. In the past, I've served as a docent here, actually, in the Cal Heights area for some houses that we have on the tour. It's an opportunity for the Cal Heights Association to raise money to help them with all their projects, so, you know, tree planting and cleaning the streets. We also have another historical district in the 7th District, and located on Eucalyptus in the Wrigley area. There's no question that we have to preserve our historical districts, that we need to invest in those districts, that we need to preserve the quality of those neighborhoods. But also we need to have somebody there, and that is correct. We need to have an educational element in those historical districts to advise new families that might be moving, buying houses there, that might be moving into the district, as to what those requirements are, because there's a major disconnect when new families move into these districts and they don't know what the rules are, and they get frustrated, they get angry because there are some elements that they need to address if they want to put in a new window, even if they want to put in a new door. So having a person there helps. But I think that the educational element is very important as well, so that we can keep individuals, new residents into those areas, into what's happening with when they move into those historic districts.
Thank you, Roberto. Next question. The 7th District is home to a variety of community and business organizations and associations. Please describe how your council office would engage these stakeholders and involve them in the policy-making decisions that affect their communities. And that is for Tara and then Joan.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I believe it's very important to make sure that anytime I have the honor to represent you on the 7th District Council, to make sure that I'm engaging all the citizens in any decision-making that will take place. I think it's extremely important for all of our neighborhoods, and we are a very diverse district, ethnically and economically, so it's very important that everyone have a say in running the 7th District. One of the things that I would like to do is to establish a resident council where people can either self-nominate themselves or nominate a neighbor that could represent their neighborhood in terms of coming together with folks in Cal Heights, Bixby Highlands, Wrigley, the West Side, getting around the table and sharing concerns, sharing ideas. Things that may be working in Cal Heights or Bixby area could be used over in Wrigley. So I really would like to facilitate us being a little more connected and making sure that everybody has a seat at the table. I would also like to establish an economic development council as well, where I'm bringing together the business owners within our district to share ideas, share best practices, help them to be viable businesses, help them to stay afloat, help them to also perhaps attract new businesses into the area. But the bottom line is I want to make sure that everybody has a chance to make help in the decision making. One of the things that Councilman Johnson just did was have a session where everybody could participate in the budgeting. He had an allotment of $200,000. He wanted input as to how it should be used for infrastructure needs. So that's the type of thing that I would like to continue, participatory budgeting. And I think that's a needed thing, and it helps in terms of the transparency, and it helps to everybody to have a say in what's happening with the dollars. And these days we have limited dollars, so we need everybody's input as to how we should prioritize and use those dollars.
Thank you, Tara. And Joan?
As I look around this room, I see many, many familiar faces. I'm a strong believer in community building activities, such as the Long Beach Municipal Band concerts that you have in Los Cerritos Park, First Fridays, and many of the events that we do in Wrigley, on the green, as part of our WANA program to bring the diverse community together several times a year. And also, I've been actively involved in the West Long Beach Association. So I've, over the last 20 years, touched bases in all corners of this district. And as I say, I see many people here that I know, maybe not the name, but certainly familiar faces. I have a very hands-on approach to neighborhood groups. And we need to leverage the power of these neighbor groups by encouraging some of our younger families and the members of all different elements in our community to come together at these neighborhood meetings. It used to be routine to have 60 to 75 people at the monthly neighborhood meeting. The reason for that is this was the opportunity for city staff and for council people to come and talk to people one-on-one and hear what they had to say. We need to strengthen these neighborhood associations, but budget cutbacks caused them to stop sending community planners, police representatives to these meetings, and then attendance fell off. So really, we need to go back to the future and let everybody know how important these neighborhood groups are to our quality of life.
Thank you, Joan. Next question. In the midst of a serious economic downturn, small, locally owned and operated businesses have helped fuel a Bixby Knowles area renaissance. Considering this success, how might your office employ lessons learned here to activate all of the 7th District business districts, even those not in formal improvement districts? And that is for Joan and then Tara.
Very good question. We've been struggling with that problem over in Wrigley for many years now. We have a very interesting business corridor on Pacific Avenue, and we invited Blair Cohn to come down and talk to the business owners. Didn't get us anywhere because nobody in the businesses wanted to step forward and take on a leadership role. We used to have a very active business association in Wrigley. It then combined and met with the neighborhood groups, and again it fell away. Over in West Long Beach, they do have a strong industrial base. That supports their neighborhood group and their neighborhood group with donations. We have fought very hard to bring businesses into the community, but it just hasn't happened yet. We do have a program and a plan now for Santa Fe Avenue, two. One is run by nonprofits. It's called Santa Fe Avenue Connected. I'd like to bring these other business corridors into that planning process. And Councilman Johnson has also obtained a $300,000 grant for planning improvements to Santa Fe Avenue. Business improvement sectors would help, but again, we're not seeing anyone from the business community stepping up. So we're looking for leadership there, but we can do on Willow Street exactly what has been done in Bixby Knolls and in the 4th District, because we have very wonderful artists studios throughout the Wrigley area, and we could do something along Willow to repurpose those buildings from bars into art galleries, art studios, and help these small businesses. We have a new business corporate headquarters coming in with 150 people at the corner of Daisy and Willow.
Thank you, John. Tara?
Thank you. Small businesses are extremely important to our community, and it's all up to us to make sure that they stay viable and afloat. One of the things that I've proposed is setting up an economic development council, and it would be comprised of business owners who could step up to the plate and say, hey, here's what we need, here are the tools that we need, here's what we need from the community, here's the help that we need from the city. Here's why we're having issues, here's our challenges, here are the opportunities. And our opportunities are many. We have an international port at our doorstep. We have businesses who just need to be connected with the tools. And we've got the tools. Long Beach City College has wonderful classes and programs that are available to our business owners. The city has business loan programs that are available to help businesses. And our state, the governor has a GoBiz program that is specifically set up to make sure that we can create new businesses and that we can help them flourish, and then we can also attract businesses. So we have the tools, and sometimes we just need to connect some of our business owners with those tools. And I would like to promote, through my Economic Development Council, reaching out to the business owners and would-be business owners and perhaps businesses that would like to relocate. What are some of the challenges? How can we help you meet those challenges? And I'd also like to hear from the residents. What types of businesses do we want to see? Are we attracting the right businesses? How can we better use our corridors? Should we use them for businesses? Should we also attract medical centers? Should we attract technology companies? So we need to come up with some innovative ideas to help our business corridors flourish. And it may mean having a mixed-use type of projects where we're attracting businesses that are retail, grocers, but also businesses that are services, as well as providing needed community services such as medical and technology. Thank you.
Thank you, Tara. We have a chip from Roberto. Please go.
Business development is one of the standards that I'm working on the most that I would like to see. And I don't think that it's the responsibility of the business owners for them to step up. I think it's the responsibility of the council office to step up. It is our responsibility to ensure that the businesses that are there feel welcome, that they feel that they are needed and they are wanted. And it's our responsibility as district, as a city council persons, to make them feel comfortable, to make them feel welcome, to make them open their doors and to accept our opportunities to engage them and to help them develop their businesses. We do have a wonderful program at Long Beach City College. It's the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Businesses, where we help new business people build a business plan. We help them with how to market their businesses and how to deal with their human resources. Okay, red and yellow at the same time. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Joan, your 1 minute chip.
Yes, I wanted to follow up on this. We do have a new business, a corporate headquarters for a developer moving in at Daisy and Willow. We're hoping that this will anchor the rebirth west of Magnolia in the 7th District. One of the issues we have in Wrigley is that most of our businesses, the anchor businesses at the Wrigley Marketplace and our major park, Veterans Park, are in the 6th District. So I have spoken many, many times with the 6th District office and have their commitment that we will work closely as a unit on Willow Street. It is scheduled for some improvement, streetscape improvements under the I-710 livability plan. So we've already put these tools in place to attract new businesses and hope they will thrive with this anchor corporate headquarters.
Thank you, Joan. And Tara, did you also want to use a chit? Please.
Yes, and I wanted to be clear. Of course, the City Council will play a leadership role in making sure that we can get the business owners exactly what they need. So I want to be clear, and I think the other candidate wanted to make it sound like we're, you know, I'm planning on putting it the onus back on the business owners. It's a partnership. We all have to work at making this district the best that it can be and preserving what we have and making it better. And I'm about progress. I'm about moving forward. And if we've got opportunities to work with the tools that exist in the city, and it's a matter of connecting with the tools that exist in the city and using what the state has put into place, using what the city has in terms of loans, and we need to go out and connect, make those connections, then that's what I'll do. If I have to go door to door, business to business, letting you know what programs are available, hosting a small business fair, bringing everybody to one place so that you know, here's what's available to me, here's what's available to make my business viable, then that's what I'll do.
Thank you, Tara. Okay, next question. Do you support the current direction of the mayor and city council majority to fast track the rebuilding of the Civic Center via a public-private partnership, or rebuilding the Civic Center via only public funds to save on the private partner's profits, or would you advocate further investigation into the feasibility of retrofit? Please state the specific reasons for your opinion either way. And this is Roberto and then Tara.
I do not support the fast track. Let me be clear on that right off the top. I think that basically we need that Civic Center is the people's center. It's where people come in to do business. It's where they get their permits. It's where they pay their bills. And it's where the City Council is going to be located. It's got to be a welcoming center. It's got to be one where people are going to feel safe and the elevators don't get stuck between the third and the fourth floor. Because that's happened to me. All plans should be considered. Whether it's a retrofit, fine. If it's the Civic Center right now, quite frankly, sits in prime property. I mean, the city should even look at perhaps just selling that whole property to a developer, let them take it over and develop what they want there, and maybe even move City Hall to another location, which is more centralized. There's some other buildings available in the city that are available for retrofitting that can fit our businesses. And if we're looking at also, there's been some discussion about decentralizing the city services, making it more computer friendly, more internet friendly, that would basically minimize the number of offices that would be needed in a civic center. However, the fast tracking it at this point to knock it down or retrofit or create something different than what it is now needs your input, needs the public's input, so that we can have a plan that's going to be acceptable to everybody, so that everybody feels that they participated and had some kind of input into what kind of City Hall they want, what kind of City Hall you want.
Thank you, Roberto. Tara?
Great question. Hello? Okay, sorry. There we go. Great question. First of all, the priority for me in terms of the Civic Center is the health, welfare, and the safety of the city employees there, as well as visitors who are going to the building to do business with the city. So I think we need to take that into consideration right off the top. It's about the safety of everyone who is going into that building. That being said, I'm a fiscal conservative, so if I don't have to spend a whole lot of money on anything, and that includes at my house, then I try not to. So one of the things that I think we do need to do is slow down. I'm not in favor of fast-tracking the project at all. I would like to have us analyze the retrofit, make sure we've exhausted all those options to make sure that that is not going to be the most viable way to save the building. And if at the end of the day it comes out that retrofitting is not going to work, it's not going to bring us the benefit and save us the dollars that we need to, then we need to look at another way to finance, perhaps building a new civic center. But at the end of the day, if we can do everything that we can and still maintain the safety of residents going into the building, that of city staff who are working there, and not have to build a new civic center, then we should try to do all that we can to do that. P3, public-private partnership, that's been a hot word for everybody, and it has resonated with some who think that it automatically means that it's going to go over budget and it's going to spend a lot of money. I served on the redevelopment agency when we did the new courthouse, so there are some advantages to P3, and of course there are some disadvantages. But I think we need to look at all the options that are available, and if it includes doing a new civic center, then we need to make sure that we've exhausted all of our options first and then finding the most economical way to replace the building if it's needed.
Thank you, Tara. And Joan, you had a one-minute chit.
Yes, I wanted to let you know that I, too, feel that fast-tracking is not appropriate on this project. However, the RFP just went out last week, so we are already committed to essentially looking at three proposals, all P3 model. However, as the 7th District Council person, I would insist that we also look at the other two options with an RFP process, one for retrofitting and also one for design build, so that we have three different models to compare in the environmental impact report, the CEQA compliance. So yes, we have another chance to bring this into the sunlight, and as your council person, I will make sure that happens. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan. Okay, next question. Long Beach Airport is one of the 5 nationwide airports to have the protection of a noise ordinance. What would you do as the 7th District Council representative if faced with potential challenges to the ordinance, and do you think it is possible to modify the ordinance without affecting or impacting local residents? And that's for Tara and then Roberto.
Long Beach Airport, another hot issue. I actually am a resident of Bixby Highlands, so I too am affected by the noise in the airport. I do use the airport, absolutely. I live in, my family lives in Washington, D.C., so I am a user of the airport, so I'll say that up front. But at the same time, I'm also affected by the noise. And there are some evenings when, you know it, you feel it. But that being said, I am in support of the current ordinance as it stands. So I have no intentions of dismantling that or, revisiting and opening the doors on that. I think as a neighborhood, as a district, our voices were heard, and, I know it was a hard-fought battle to get the ordinance in place, and I respect the wishes of the community, and I will be supportive in making sure that the ordinance can stand.
Thank you, Tara. Roberto?
That is not a tough question to me. The ordinance is the ordinance. I totally support it. In another debate, the candidates were asked if we would sign a pledge. I have here a pledge that I will not touch that ordinance, and we should keep the flights at the number that it currently is.
Thank you, Roberto. And we have a chip for Joan.
Yes, I'd also like to address this issue. I have also stated that I support the ordinance as it is written and would not mess with it. However, that ordinance does allow a minimum of 41 flights, and at any time, an airline can put forth a proposal and ask for more that would first go to the airport director, and eventually, if a challenge, it would end up at City Council. However, having studied the federal noise requirements for federal projects and any project that might involve federal monies or bringing in a federal agency like Customs, they're very strict, and there are other ordinances that we can pass in this city to protect not only the residents in this area from airport noise, but also the residents of West Long Beach from industrial noises such as rail yards. So there is an approach. It can be done. We would have to work with the city attorney's office to create some new ordinances that treat all noise sources the same.
Thank you, Joan. Okay, our next question. The possibility of changing laws affecting urban agriculture has been increasingly debated in Long Beach. Please share your thoughts on revisions to city ordinances that would affect the growing of produce on residential parkways, beekeeping, and poultry keeping within city limits. And that's Tare and then Joan.
Thank you. I have to admit, my husband is our resident gardener, and this is an issue that he's very much interested in. And I think really what it comes down to at the end of the day, I'm in favor of, you know, utilizing our residential parkways for growing produce and also for beekeeping. So, you know, I think it's something that we should look at. But at the same time, I would like to say, I think it's something that we need to look at harder. And I would really like to get the community's input and find out, you know, what does the community feel? Because I know along my block, I have some neighbors who are in favor of it. And I also have some neighbors who aren't in favor of it. So it's an issue that, As a home that has lots of produce in the backyard, is something that I would like to consider, but I really would like the input of the residents to see, you know, how they feel and if it's something that would work. And if we could, and if we want to make it workable, are there ways that we could put in some restrictions and limitations? Because it, at the end of the day, it is something that perhaps could get out of control. So I would really like to look at it and see if there are some ways that the community could, you know, support it, and if they're not in favor of it, then I think we should not pursue it.
Thank you, Tara. And Joan?
Yes, as a sustainable city commissioner, we heard public testimony and actually were the body that brought this forward to the council for the purpose of the agricultural use, poultry, goats, and bees. However, this was on private property, not public property, unless it was a community garden or a community farm. I would not be in favor of putting it onto parkways. There was also public testimony, and the opposition seemed to be to the bees. But at First Friday, I got to talk to the beekeepers up there on Atlantic Avenue and found out that honeybees are not aggressive. The least number of stings happen from honeybees, and that was the only critter that was left out of the ordinance that was passed by the city council. They are allowing two goats on private property and poultry with very severe restrictions. So that ordinance has passed except for the bees. I would like to see the bees added. I have also been present at a home in Wrigley where they have converted the front yard to a vegetable garden. Now, I was part of a community garden in Wrigley, and guess what? Someone kept climbing the fence and stealing my zucchini. So part of the idea is that those individuals who need produce are free to come and share in that produce if it was on public land. And again, that depends on which public land and whose parkways. So again, I think that may be taking it a little too far, but I definitely support those who are willing to put vegetable gardens in their front yards and share their produce with everyone. In fact, we have Nancy Reish here. She lives in an apartment house where they did this, what, in 2005, 2006, put a vegetable garden in their front yard. So I would go to the people who have already done it and see what their experiences have been.
Thank you, Joan. Next question. There are many current and proposed major projects that address growth at the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles. How will your decisions balance job and economic growth with the need to maintain quality of life for the residents and neighborhoods in the areas impacted by these projects? And that's Roberto and then Joan.
The job of the City Council is to maintain the health and welfare of its residents. And we need to basically look at the residents, take their input, and address them. I support the City Council's lawsuit against the City of Los Angeles in trying to mitigate, negotiate, and compromise in what's going on with the skate project that's taking place in the West Long Beach area. Bottom line is that the SCIG does have issues. It has problems. The City Council wanted to work with the LA City Council to try to address those issues. When it comes down to that project, 95 to 98% of it is in the City of Los Angeles, but Long Beach gets 100% of the effect. And they weren't at the table when this project was going forward, and that's why I support what the City of Long Beach did in trying to work with the project, because they're trying to mitigate it. There's an effort to address the job creation, to address the noise, to address the lighting, to address the particulate matter that goes up into the air that the project will create. However, if it goes away, then we're still stuck with congested traffic in the freeways, modal movement that will be moved in the same direction. I totally support a dock rail project, but there's not one there now. So we have to look at the project that we're working with, try to work with it, and if in the end it goes away or they withdraw from it, then we start back at square one. And in the meantime, the residents in that area are going to continue to deal with the noise, with the issues of breathing. I have three kids. Two of them have asthma, and so does my wife. So it's very important for me as well.
Thank you, Roberto. Joan?
One of the reasons I'm running for City Council is that I've been involved in these battles over air quality, port expansion, and health impacts of the residents since the mid-1990s. My position on the SCIG rail yard project is that it cannot be mitigated. It's not only the City of Long Beach that has brought a CEQA lawsuit against the City of Los Angeles, but also the Long Beach Unified School District, and the villages at Cabrillo, the National Resources Defense Council, and many, many other organizations that are concerned about this particular project. The rail yard is set up so that they would be assembling the trains, making noise all day long right next to these schools. Even if you go to zero emission vehicles, you still have tire dust and brake dust, which also severely impact and cause the asthma. So you cannot mitigate these impacts. But more importantly, I oppose the SCIG project because it isn't going to make our ports, both LA and Long Beach, the best, the cheapest, and have the highest quality delivery of goods in order to survive in this next century. We need on-dock rail, one lift, ship to rail, and hopefully that rail is a maglev monorail that will then rush those goods out to intermodal yards outside of this area and get those goods to where they need to go faster than Seattle, the Panama Canal, Texas, or any of those ports in Mexico. That's what we need to do.
Thank you, Joan. And Terry, you have a one-minute shift.
Yes, I did want to weigh in on this SCIG project. And, you know, I am a resident of a neighborhood that is subject to noise pollution. And the West Side is home to seven of our schools. And the environmental pollution that we're subjecting our kids to there, as well as our seniors, our babies, our families, just shouldn't be tolerated. I am not ever going to put a project's profits before the needs of the residents. So I think at the end of the day, I am definitely going to side with the residents in being opposed to the project as it's proposed. I'm certain that my counterpart candidate although he has voiced opposition as well. Just keep in mind that he did accept contribution from BNSF Railway. So that's something that you have to keep in mind as well when we're voicing opposition to things. So that being said, thank you. I oppose the project.
Thank you, Tara. Okay. There is a one-minute shift from Roberto.
Yeah, it's interesting that my opponent would say that, because what makes a candidate viable and a serious candidate is his or her ability to raise money and get endorsements. A candidate who attacks another one because of the endorsements they've received or the money they received is a desperate candidate. It's one who hasn't been able to raise money and hasn't been able to get any endorsements. My opponent has loaned her campaign thousands of dollars, has no endorsements, and I have a lot. And the reason why is because people know that I am approachable, that I listen, that I am logical, and that I will treat every project fairly and equally, but more importantly, that I do have the concerns of the community. And to make an innuendo that I am not is wrong, and it's the sign of a desperate candidate trying to attack another one.
Thank you, Roberto. And we have a one-minute shift from Tara.
I didn't mention that out of desperation, number one. I'm running to represent the 7th District and to put the residents first. So in no way, shape, or form am I making that comment out of desperation. I just wanted it to be clear that actions speak louder than words. And if you're going to take contributions from a railway system that is proposing that project, then I think that, you know, it's fair that people be able to know where the loyalties lie. And my loyalties lie to making sure that I'm not putting profits ahead of my residents and my constituents and my business owners. So, you know, if you want to call me desperate, then so be it. But I just want to make sure that it's clear that people do understand that where the loyalties lie. And in terms of endorsements, no, I don't have the major endorsements of special interest groups. But that's because I typically decide not to sign some of the pledges that are required to interview for these endorsement processes. So if people were to see some of the pledges that you're required to sign in order to get endorsements, I think that would be an interesting fact as well.
Thank you, Tara. Okay. I was just looking around. Okay, so this is our last of our prepared questions, and then after this we'll do the closing statements. So, our former redevelopment agency has provided significant funding for a variety of improvement projects and programs along the key local corridors to help fuel economic development and private investment. Now that the RDA system has been dismantled, how will you deal with the resulting funding challenges as we continue to combat blight and seek to improve the urban fabric of the 7th District? And that's for Tara and then Roberto.
Thank you. As a former RDA board member, it was sad to have our agency dissolved because we were so integral in doing lots of great projects throughout the city. On a year in and year out basis, we were providing $100 million to the city. So that's a lot of money that we were able to funnel into projects that would benefit all of the districts. So it is, challenges remain, but we just don't have the tools of RDA. So I think it's incumbent upon, as a council person, that we get creative and we have to build more partnerships in the community to get our projects done. So if we're looking to do affordable housing, we're going to have to work with developers, private landowners to achieve that. We have a terrible land shortage and we've got a lot of affordable housing needs. We have homelessness that we need to deal with. We also have issues of just people being able to afford a house. We have kids who are coming out of college who may never be able to afford a house. So we've got to look at all the angles and how can we partner with developers to achieve closing our housing gap. We also need to continue the redevelopment's mission of creating jobs and promoting economic development and making sure that we're revitalizing our neighborhoods. All of those are going to require more innovative thought processes, more partnerships with state, city, and local governments. And we also have to engage our citizens in the process as well, making sure that we're understanding and listening to what your needs are in terms of making sure that we're providing the right tools and the right economic development pieces in place. So at the end of the day, even though RDA is not available, our challenges still remain, and I think it's just incumbent upon us to utilize the budget dollars that we do have. I think we have a little bit of a surplus, and I think we're looking at better times going forward, but we have a lot of catching up to do in terms of addressing our infrastructure needs and restoring our public safety needs.
Thank you, Tara. Roberto?
Well, there's no question that we need a steadier stream of revenue to address all our needs. While we still have the power of eminent domain, we might have some blighted properties, but what we're going to do with them once we take over them? There's nothing there that's available to come in and take it over. So we need to provide some tax incentives to developers to come in and develop that land. We might need even to revisit some of our tax bases that we had before, the user's utility tax, went from 10% to 2.5%. We lost major revenue when that went away. We might want to revisit that. We might want to revisit how we're using our oil surplus and taxes in there. We have to look at the creative ways. It's a new day. And we have to be creative, we have to be innovative, we have to be visionary in how we look at our needs for redevelopment, for our properties, and how we are going to steadily grow our city. We're the fifth largest city in the state of California, the 35th largest city in the country, and we deserve some real good projects here that not only bring jobs, but provide a beautiful case for the city to be welcoming, to have businesses want to come to Long Beach, to open their offices, to bring their employees here, to send their kids to school here, and to live here, and to thrive here. And the only way we're going to do that is by enhancing our neighborhoods, by enhancing and creating better business districts like we have on Wardlow, Willow, Santa Fe. We need to look at creative ways of bringing in businesses that would add into our economic base so that we could have increased revenues so that we could keep our people working. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberto. Okay, well, that does complete our prepared questions, and now we'll go on to our closing statements, and we pick those in random order. So first to go, it'll be Tara, then Joan, then Roberto. So Tara, please.
Just wanted to say thank you to the Los Cerritos Neighborhood Association and to the Cal Heights Neighborhood Association for hosting this forum, and thank you to all the residents and neighbors of Long Beach who are here to hear what we have to say and how we want to serve you from the City Council and represent the 7th District. One of the things that's big for me is quality of life, and that's why I live here in Long Beach, that's why I love the 7th District, and that's why my husband and I are raising our kids here and our dog, Rusty. So, our rescue dog from San Diego. Many of you may be familiar with the term P3. We talked about it earlier. So, I have my own version of P3 that I like to toss around, and that is an acronym that we said for public-private partnership. But my P3 is preserving, I have a plan for preservation and progress. And my plan is to preserve the ordinances that protect us from noise and environmental pollution. I want to preserve the uniqueness of our historical homes in Cal Heights and Wrigley. And I want to do all of those things and preserve our quality of life. But more than anything, in order to preserve that quality of life, there's got to be the progress. And I want the progress to take place in making sure that we're getting the infrastructure that we've neglected for so many years during our budget crisis. We've got needs to get our streets and alleys and sidewalks repaired, and we've got to maintain our award-winning parks. We've also got to take progress in restoring our police and fire departments to adequate safe staffing levels so that they can protect us. And we've also got to make progress in strengthening our business corridors. So that's my P3. Again, it's my plan for preserving and progress in getting to our quality of life. and enhancing the quality of life is what I was all about when I served on the Redevelopment Agency Board, and I want to continue that mission of enhancing our quality of life, preserving our neighborhoods, and preserving our way of life and a place for our kids to have fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Tara. And Joan?
Once again, I'd like to thank Cal Heights and the Los Cerritos Neighborhood Associations for hosting this spirited forum and for introducing the CHITS. It creates a very nice added feature to the forums, makes them more interesting. In closing, I'd like to remind you of a couple of things. One, I am a businesswoman. My business experience was in high technology manufacturing operations in Northern California, Silicon Valley. As a result of that experience, I had to prepare budgets which were under the scrutiny of venture capitalists. And I can tell you, nobody in here can scrutinize a budget like a venture capitalist. Because you were responsible not only for keeping costs down, but also for making sure you made a profit. And you built a new market for your business. So I have that firsthand experience that I can bring to the City Council. My work in the community has led me to form very strong relationships. And from those relationships, I've gotten 5 very important endorsements. One is from the Long Beach Sierra Club. The other is from the National Women's Political Caucus. I've also been endorsed by City Council member Larry Foster, even though we've been on opposite sides of many issues. Also Mark Bowen, the only city college trustee to support vocational training, and Dr. Felton Williams of the Long Beach Unified School District. These are important endorsements because these are the people we need to work with to make the quality of life in the 7th District better for everyone from the northeast corner to the southwest corner. Thank you for your time, and I would be very proud to be your next 7th District Council person.
Thank you, Joan. And Roberto?
I've been in Long Beach for over 40 years. I started here as a freshman at Long Beach State, and this is where I met my wife, where I had my kids, where I raised my family, and where I decided and chose to have my career here. I've served after 35 years of public service. I retired, and I also took the opportunity to take my service to another level. Yes, I am a member of the Board of Trustees, and yes, we did discontinue some programs, but I'm not running for city college. I'm running for city council. And there, the difference is that my opponents here have bought into the rhetoric of the city college trustee candidates, because it's not about discontinuing classes, it's about discontinuing programs. Classes are there. People want to take welding, photography, carpentry, whatever, they can take those classes. What we discontinued was the course offerings in the advanced courses where they can get a degree or a diploma and go on further from there. That's the difference. They can still take those vocational classes, and I support vocational classes, obviously. There's the Long Beach City College is the fifth, if not the third, highest rate of vocational classes in the state of California. Anyway, that leadership being said, it's about leadership. And it's about the pride that I have in serving as a community college trustee, the pride that I have as having served as the national president of the Association of Community College Trustees. I have leadership abilities. I have a vision for Long Beach where there's going to be healthy families, where there's going to be we're going to be building some healthy communities, and I support our neighborhoods. I support our kids, and I will work very hard as a city councilman to engage all elements of the district and all elements of the city, because I am very proud of my endorsements from the unions, the Police Officer Association, the Firefighter Association, the employees who do all the work for you. Your vote is for me, Roberto Uranga. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberto. So that does conclude this session. I'd like to thank all of the candidates, and please give them applause.